Amen. What a joy to come together and to worship our Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I encourage you to be able to follow along with us. We'll have it on the screen also, hopefully. Yeah. This morning, we begin in verse 14. It says, "Let all that you do be done in love." Sound familiar? Looked at that last week. "Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunas, and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they have refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. Although the brothers send you greetings, greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, writing this greeting with my own hand. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." So we look at that. You remember last week that we were in verses 13 and 14. I told you we'd probably come back to verse 14 a little bit this week. But we saw those things that Paul was commanding the church to do as he was closing out the letter. You'll remember that we said it was much like a general that has laid out all the plan, dealt with all the issues and all of those things that are taking place. And then he comes along and he says he wants him to remember these things, to be watchful. Watch out. We looked at many things. First of all, look out for the coming of Christ, which you see here even at the end of the book that we just read. And then we saw that we are to stand firm in the faith. Folks, so many times we live in a society that thinks that the faith has changed, that it has evolved and it has gotten to be something different than what it has for all of the time since the Word has been given to us, that it is a different gospel. It is not different at all. It is the same one that has come. Be firm in what God's word says. Be firm in serving the Lord. And you notice in the text, it says, act like men. I love that. That courage, that strength to be like men and to stand. And as a man, and many of us here, we know there are those times that that is just simply not fun to do, but it's time to stand. And it says, be strong. And then we get to where our text is this morning. It says, let all that you do be done in love. Everything that you do is to be done in love. Think about your motivation for everything in life. You remember, we read the passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love, and I shared with you as we did that, is all of those things are towards other people, our attitudes towards others, and that we are not selfish about the way that we operate. It is always outward. Scripture tells us that we are to love this way. He says, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. All right? So everything that we do is because we love the Lord. It says we go to that song in our worship that we just had, and we're going back and we're remembering the love that Christ had for us by dying for our sin and paying the price on the cross for us. And we are reminded of that, I hope, on a continual basis within our lives, that we go back and we think about those things, that we love the Lord. But it's that we also love others. If we truly love Him, we have that love that is going out to one another, and it is not that self-centered on yourself. Now, so many people will look at this passage of Scripture, and I've heard it over and over and over to the point of nausea to me, is that, you know what? I will love people once I learn to love me. Folks, you notice what it says. It says you love others when? Because you love the Lord. Folks, let me tell you what. We love me. Have you figured out that you love yourself? Huh? Well, think about how you take care of yourself. Who is the first priority when you wake up in the morning? I don't know about you, but my first priority is me and my coffee cup. And I get in there and I make me a cup of coffee. All right? And things are set up for me to get me going. You know what? I fix breakfast in the morning because if I want breakfast, guess who has to fix it? All right? And if it ain't breakfast, if it ain't egg, sorry for the Oklahoma ain't. That's just how it is. All right? And if I want them, I'm going to fix them. My wife loves me dearly, but that's not going to happen except on Saturdays. All right? And so, guess what? It sounds good that Steve is willing to get up and cook breakfast for his family Monday through Friday, but guess why I do it? So I want eggs. I mean, you start thinking about how many things within our lives revolve around yourself. Rightfully so, in a lot of ways. We take care of ourselves, we love ourselves, and he's coming along and he's making the statement that we love others as we do ourselves. You notice, you go back and you look at the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, they are out towards others as you love. All right? You're patient with others. You're not irritable towards others. You look at all of those different things within that passage of Scripture. They are outward. And you love others as you love yourself. Now, you can look at some different issues, and we'll come back. And if some problems with that, I'd be glad to sit down and work through some issues with you there on that. But it says, you know what? We already do love ourselves. Now love others as we love ourselves. You know, so many times within our society, we have that call back to us, me, myself, and I. And Scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. How much? Man, I'm here to tell you, I don't like that verse very well. It addresses me and says, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or out of conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. You see, it's going even past than just loving, that they are more important than you are. Totally contrary to what our culture teaches us. We do everything out of the motive of love for God, love for others, and we don't look at not only to our own interest. So it's okay, you take care of your own interests, but also to the interest of others. It is that outward picture of love. Folks, it is not centered on me. Most of all, it's centered on the Lord and serving Him. How do you love? Is it centered on you? Over and over and over again, we hear that I've got to get right before I serve and before I love. Scripture does not support that picture. So we look through this and we see that everything is done out of the motive of love for God, love for others. We move on and we see an interesting thing that takes place in 1 Corinthians 16:15-18. He says, now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia. And he's going back and just looking at the importance of those first converts and the encouragement that takes place as you go back and you remember the first. There are not very many of you that were around at the first. Huh? But you remember them, and you remember those that were early on within this church, and you remember them with fondness because of the ministry that they accomplished within this. I mean, just a joy to be able to just watch and see what God had done as Pastor Mike was here and as he led you through many different building times and things of that nature, and remember those things. But one of the things I want you to encourage and to look at it is that we see here that that picture of that they were saved, Early on in that picture of evangelism that took place and the growth of the church that would have taken place as a result of Stephanas, the family. It's interesting, Stephanas was mentioned in chapter 1, and Paul says that he was one of the few that he baptized in ministry. So one of those that came to know Christ. Folks, one of the greatest ways that you can love people is be evangelistic towards them. And that picture here of one that was saved under the ministry of Paul is they're in Greece here. And you see that love that is lived out. Let me ask you, do you love people by being an evangelist? Now remember, we went back and we looked through the gifts several months ago when we were earlier in 1 Corinthians. And we talked about the gift of being an evangelist. And we looked at the gift of giving, and we looked at the gift of teaching, and we looked at the gift of prophecy, and looked at several others. I don't remember them all off the top of my head. But one of the things we said is, you know what? We are not all gifted as evangelists, but what do we have? We all have the responsibility of doing the work of an evangelist. Why? Because we love people. Do you love people? Do you love them enough to tell them that they are headed to a place called hell? Do you? See, that's what Paul did with Stephanas. Is he shared with him the gospel of Christ and that he was headed to this place called hell. Folks, I'm here to tell you what a sad thing it is that we say that we love people, but we are not praying for those that are lost and dying and going to hell, realizing that their eternity is at stake, and we don't say anything to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what Paul did. He was praying for him, and he was using his life to share Christ. As a matter of fact, this was his heart towards the Jews. We talked about this in a Bible study on Wednesday morning. He said, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. His heart was that he would rather go to hell if what? If they would come to know Christ. Folks, you talk about a heart that is concerned and loves people. That's Paul's heart. You see, everything that we do, our motive is to be love. Folks, I'm here to tell you a heart that is not telling people about Christ truly isn't loving. Think about it. They're going to hell. Are you sharing Christ? You love through evangelism. You love through serving others. The second part of verse 15, he says, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Man, they've loved each other by serving one another in that picture that is there within the scripture. John MacArthur, Matthew Henney use this picture of this service as it is like an addiction to service. John MacArthur uses this idea. He says that addiction like drugs. Have you dealt with people that are addicted on drugs? I'm here to tell you, it is not a fun thing. In our society today, we have addiction to drugs and alcohol, and we hear sex addiction. We hear every kind of addiction. And what it is something that totally controls an individual. A strong habit, something that is overpowering within our lives, like a drug, that compulsion to it. It's one thing that as somebody that is involved in pornography or involved in drugs, one thing that you find is that they start out with a little and then they need more to satisfy their habit and then they need more and they need more. The same thing with pornography. They start out what would be considered basically minor and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse because you need more and more and more. And you are dependent. I love how John MacArthur, he puts it, that as our heart of service is that, guess what? As we serve Christ, as we are serving others, you know what? We can't get enough. You know what? It's just like as if you were the bad side of addiction. You can't get enough of serving the Lord. It is that picture of being filled with the Holy Spirit and it bubbles out of us within our lives. What? Don't be controlled by wine, but by who? The Spirit of the living God. Desiring to serve with everything that we have. You see, it just is to come naturally, and it does to these that are there at the church in Corinth. Galatians 5:13 tells us, it says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love." What do? You serve each other. It's the attitude of our hearts. As we grow closer to the Lord, we desire to do that. Folks, I'm grateful within this church that we have got deacons that live out the picture of service. That's what the deacon means, is to be a servant. They are servants here. You want some examples to watch? Watch them. Now, folks, I'm not saying they're the only ones that serve in this church, okay? I thought about having everybody that has served in a way stand up. We would have about 80% in this room stand up that have served in some way. You think of Sunday school, you think of Awanas on Sunday nights, you think of Wednesdays and meals that take place on Wednesday night, and youth activities and children's activities, and you think about all the things that have taken place over the year with medical clinic, and you just start thinking about things that somebody doesn't see that takes place. It's amazing how many different ways that people serve here. It is a part of our DNA, is to serve the Lord. If you're one that you don't serve, guess what? It's time for conviction for you now. If you're not serving the Lord, you need to be in that place and serving in some way or another. Now, I understand there are some things that I may not see that take place. I am not all-knowing and all-seeing. But we need to be about serving Christ with everything that we have. Do you notice, and we see it moves on, that loving through submission. 1 Corinthians 16:16, be subject to such as these. These that are the examples that serve, and to every fellow worker and laborer. It amazes me, and I'm so grateful that it hasn't taken place at this church, or not to my knowledge, but that complaining of following those that are in leadership, whether it be deacons or whether it be me or whoever it is there is that desire to follow leadership. And that's a heart of love, a desire to hear what's said and to follow. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not questions that come up. You know what? Nobody's scared to be questioned and ask, have you thought about this? Because you know what? Sometimes when you've asked, have you thought about this? Guess what? We haven't. And we appreciate it. We don't want to just have everybody follow blindly. We don't mind honest, loving, seeking questions about things that take place. But hopefully those that are leadership within churches are the lowest servants of them all and willing to do whatever is necessary. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, he says, obey your leaders. Submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Folks, I'm grateful within this church. I don't think you have any doubt that of all those that lead in different ways, from Sunday school teachers to children's teachers working within there, there's a motive that we have for leading. It's because we love the Lord and we love you. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's the motive. There's no other motive. I have never sat in a meeting in this church and had anybody say, you know, we got to do this so that our way gets done. Never. Never. It is that motive of this is what we believe is best, and we want to do what God's will is, and we want to follow the Lord, and what we are proposing is not ungodly or anything. Our motive is for the sake and the service of the Lord and serving you. You know what? I wish I could say that every church I've been in has had that motive. I've been in a lot of meetings where I've had guys that all they're doing is they're putting forth their agenda. That's no fun. None. But what a joy that is. So you obey those that you know that's that motive that's there. You follow them. It's not a blind following. But you see that motive that's worked out, because what one day those that are in leadership will give an account of you. And how that you live your life and how we've led you. And so that we can do that with joy. Now, I don't know how that all looks. I've shared this passage with you before, but all I know is it will take place one day. I know as Georgetown Southern Baptist Church, I'll give an account. Sunday school teachers, I believe you'll give an account of your Sunday school classes. Awana teachers, I think you will of your Awana classes. Wherever you are in leadership, obey, follow, hear that heart. Folks, that doesn't mean you don't test it, you don't try it, you aren't beware of those things that are said. Hear and listen, and even challenge sometimes, especially if you think they're off in the Word, all right? I've made mistakes. Ask. It's funny, on Sunday night, you ask me questions about the sermon, and I've heard somebody say, you know what? And I go, you know what? I was wrong. It's okay. I will be. All right? And we look at it in God's Word, and we see what's right. Take that time. Follow those that are there. Love through that submission, because what you know, that heart and that desire to be able to serve and to care. We see in verses 17 through 18 the love through encouragement. Paul says, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanus and Fortunus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence. For they refreshed my spirit as well of you as yours. That's one of the greatest ways you can love those that are in leadership, but anywhere, is that you spend time with them. And you invest your life into people. What a joy that is to be able to do that. These came along and they invest in Paul. You know what? One of the greatest things that can be said to somebody, and you probably don't put it this way, but Paul says, they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Isn't it neat? Whenever you go and you encourage somebody else, how much encouragement it is to you. Amen. I don't know how many times I've walked in and they've said, you know what, that's really encouraged me. And I've walked out going, man, I said nothing. It's you who did the encouraging. What God has done in that midst, it's our heart, our desire to encourage people to live this faith, even whenever it gets difficult. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 puts it this way. It says, therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you're doing. Church at Thessalonica, that's what was taking place. Encouraging one another. Man, it's wonderful whenever you have somebody that is just with you and encouraging you through everything of this life. You ever get discouraged? Do you have those believers that will come alongside of you and encourage you? Folks, I'm here to tell you, I know there's many in this room. They don't mind you pick up the phone, give them a call. They'll go drink a cup of coffee with you. They'll go eat a meal with you. And guess what? Here's one right here. Glad to. Encourage. He continues on just later in the chapter. He says, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. That's part of our ministry. Yeah, some of it's negative. Admonish the idle, not doing anything. Guess what? Consider yourself admonished. But by and large, encourage. One of the greatest things that we can do is those that are faithful, as these were that Paul is addressing here at the church at Corinth, is give recognition to them. Honor them. It says give recognition to such people that do these things. You know, it's one of those things around this church, nobody wants to be recognized. You tell them you're going to recognize, they'll tell you, nope, don't need it. Guess what? It needs to take place. Amen? Notice, give recognition to such people. Hello? He said, well, not me. Why would the Lord have us do it if you don't want to have it? You know what? That's sometimes that false humility. You know, it's when it's great whenever somebody comes along and honors you. Now, what do you got to do? You say, well, I got to mess with my head because, you know, then they'll start thinking how great I am, all that stuff. Yeah. And what's it do? It calls you back to humility. It's not how great you are, but it's how great the God is that has enabled you to serve. As you admonish as you encourage and as you recognize those that serve. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Remember those one another's from 6-7 years ago within our church? This is one of those. We honor one another. Now, it's not an opportunity to come together and that we honor each other over Christ, but it's what we honor what Christ has done in and through us, and ultimately we honor Christ. And it's that reminder each and every time as we come and we do it, it is through the strength of Christ that we serve Him. Just before in that same, in 1 Thessalonians says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. You know what? That's wonderful when somebody come up and tell you, you know what, this is an area in your life that you need to change. Or confront you and say, you know what, I perceive this way. Is this really how your heart is? And challenge you. Or maybe there's just out and out blatant sin and somebody comes along and exposes it to you. What a joy that is. And what do? And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Honor them. What a joy to recognize that love is lived out. You know, as we encourage each other and as we give recognition to one another, it's even lived out as we're hospitable to one another. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia send you greeting. Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. I'm here to tell you, these folks, they started church in their house. And guess what? A lot of the times it stayed there. Can you imagine having church services in your house every week at least? You talk about hospitality, that was their heart. We've looked at it. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, one of the one another's, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's a heart. It's our desire to minister to people, to buy that cup of coffee, to take them out for dinner, or to have them into your homes, or whatever it is. Have them in, have a piece of dessert, or have a cup of coffee at the house, whatever it is. And show that love by investing your life, by having them in your home or sharing your life with them. Then you love even by being affectionate. 1 Corinthians 16:20, everybody's favorite verse. In Oklahoma, we grew up in Falls Creek, and at camp, this was one of the verses that all the guys tried to use. All the brothers send you greetings, greet one another with a holy kiss. That is not the context of the verse. All right? That's what the guys would use when they tried to date a girl. That's not it. All right? You say, I'm not too sure about that verse, preacher. Well, I'm not either, all right? I've seen you guys shake hands, and you go back and you get the stuff to put on your hands and rub it after shaking hands, all right? I've done it too, okay? I don't want us rubbing it on our lips if we've kissed each other, okay? But what is it? We show affection to one another. I mean, we get these things sometimes that people say, you know what, it's just unnecessary to greet one another within church and the greeting time and, you know, and all those different things. And guess what? We see the command to greet one another. Why? Because we love each other. You know, my kids come in the house, and you know what? We greet each other. My wife comes in. I can't wait till she comes in, and her, I can greet with a holy kiss. All right? I love it. I look forward to it every day. We look forward to greeting one another. You know, maybe, you know, sometimes it's superficial. You know, yeah, we shake hands, how you doing, all those things. But you know what? We're ready there when they come back and say, you know what, life's not going so hot, preacher, or friend, or brother, or sister. Yeah, we say, yeah, we're doing okay by and large, but you know what? You've got believers that are here that they care for you, and they truly want to know. And you greet one another. And you show that love. It might be a shake of the hand or a pat on the back or whatever that it is. And what a godly attitude it is that we come in with a desire in our homes and within our church and in places that we work. And we want to show love to people. Now, there's some people that they don't want you to pat them by on the shoulder or to shake their hands or whatever. You still be kind to them. Man, I tell you what, it's kind of different for me. In Oklahoma, we say hi to everybody. Everybody wants to say hi. And we look at each other, anybody in Walmart, that you're crazy if you don't say hi back. All right, a little different in Indiana. But guess what? It's scriptural. That heart that we have, that we love people. You understand that Scripture tells us that we're to love our enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Can't you at least greet them? That heart that we have of love. And we strive to show it in every way we can. It's one of those areas, it doesn't close out, but verse 21 says, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Most of the time they'd have what we would call a secretary today that would write out what was being said. But many believe that he was blind. Paul was blind and very difficult to write, and it would be a very special thing for him to take and to close it out in his own hand. It's just a very special extra that is taken to show his love for the folks at Corinth. Folks, understand, he has skewered the church at Corinth. He has taken and run the sword of the word through them like nobody's business. He's wanting them to know of the love that he's seen from them and seen in them, even though he has taken them to the mat. Because the reason he has done it, because he loves them. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, he does anything he can to make it special. And to be an encouragement to them by something that they would know would be very difficult from him to write in his very own hand. It closes out. Such a verse. It says, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Has your love shown out? The way that we see it is how you serve others. Yeah, you've got a love for His Word, and you hear that, and as you pray and as you go before the Lord and you see those things, but you know what? That true love is shown out as you serve each other. How are we known? Known by our love. He says, if you have no love for the Lord, let Him be accursed. Be cursed. Then our Lord come. Maranatha, come quickly. I mean, it's that picture that, you know what, those that don't want to love the Lord, let the Lord come quickly, deal with them. Folks, how many people do you know that don't love the Lord? I mean, you see it in their lack of service, or when they fail to serve Christ with their very life, they have no desire for the things of the Lord and study of the Word, and no desire of prayer, no desire to get out and to share the gospel, or no concern for those that are lost. Be cursed. Then let the Lord come and judgment take place. Folks, understand, we've got a message to proclaim to a world that's lost and dying without Christ. And maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life today. And you say, preacher, he's saying, if I don't love the Lord, let him be cursed. Folks, what is that? Where will they go? Hell. Wage of sin is death. It's what we deserve. He says, even so, that's taking place. Jesus, come quickly. Are you here without Christ? That's where you are headed. Jesus paid the price on the cross for your sin. And today you have that opportunity to come to that point of receiving what was done for you on the cross and accepting Christ as your Lord, the Master, the boss of your life, and Savior. Will you come today? Bible says, repent of your sin, turn from your sin. He said, preacher, I can't, and you cannot, but you come with a heart's desire for Him to be the boss, the master, the Lord of your life, and guess what? He will. You accept what He did on the cross. You believe that He died and He was raised again, and you come in and He will save your soul. Will you today? You think He closes on a pretty negative note, but He closes out. He says, but to the church with all these problems in the midst of a society that is standing against everything ungodly, much like what our society is doing today, He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. This church that you want to sit there and go, there's no way you can be a church the way that you've acted. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. He says, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. So what? He's not even celebrating His own love, but His love in Christ Jesus to the church. That's where we stand. That's how we love. That's how we move on, is because of the love that we have in Christ Jesus. Do you show love in your life? Some strong challenges today. And I dare there's issues within each and every one of our lives that are challenged. Do you love? He says He loves you in Christ Jesus. Where are you? You need to accept Christ. Maybe you need to repent. There's something God's just dealt with your heart and you are called to change. Get before the Lord and change. Maybe you need help. Be glad to. Where are you?